This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so orient, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Chuck Gregory, and this is the New American Dream Radio Show, and we are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And remember that this is listener-supported network, and they do deserve your support. So make sure you head on over there to freedomslips.com and show them some love. Yeah, all right then. So we've been having some interesting challenges today with the with our internet. And so if you notice any problems, well, sorry about that. You know, that's all I can say. I'm going to try to get everything going, and hopefully we'll have a real good show. Alrighty then. So we're going to start out with our first guest of the evening, Ava Bird. Ava joins me this first week of every month from somewhere in California, and I'm going to add her into the show right about now. So let me just see how I can do this. you know, they change the way this looks every time. Okay, here we go. Add participant. That's what we need. All right. Here we go. Ava Bird. So we're going to add her into the show right about now. Ava is a wonderful poet, and she's been doing a fascinating. Well, that didn't work. Let's try this again. Well, I keep getting Ava Bird unavailable, so I'm not quite sure why that is, but we're going to keep trying. Maybe I picked the wrong number. Should be this one. Well, That is an interesting problem. Well, we're going to get hold of Baba Bird real soon, I promise. all right, here we go. Well, I'm going to try to get in touch with Ava, see why her phone is unavailable. I'm sure we'll get this to work soon. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Okay, then. No, still not working. All right. Let me see if I can do it a different way. All righty, then. It's just not liking it. Okay, well, we're going to try something else here. All right, we're trying now to see if she can call in. So hopefully that will work. Oh. Hello, Ava.
Hi, Chuck.
All right, very good. We finally got this thing to work. I tell you, the internet has been quite challenging for me today. I've gone to the library. I've gone to McDonald's. I'm currently at a friend's house. Because the internet at our apartment is disconnecting more than it's connecting. It's quite frustrating. They're sending a technician on Saturday, but you know that didn't do much good for getting the show together today.
Right. And, right. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I guess you know that which doesn't kill us hopefully makes us stronger.
There you go. Yeah. a little bit cliched, but yeah.
Well, it can certainly make you more determined, so I'm glad you fought through it.
Indeed.
Yeah, it's odd because you know, I had my phone in my hand waiting and it didn't ring, but
yeah.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
That's right. Well, amazingly enough, it is actually recording now, which is something that didn't work about an hour ago when I tried to pre-record two of the guests. So something's different here. Who knows?
The silver lining is the connection sounds great. I mean, you sound like more clear.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Well, I figured this was a good place to come because Susan does some, you know, some remote internet work that's, I knew she must have a really good connection.
She does. So, I can feel it. You know, it's good. Well, I'm glad that you were able to get it together anyway, and we could have the show. I always look forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. And, I was missed you last week on the poetry special, but we had a lot of fun anyway. So,
yeah, good. I'm sorry that I couldn't make it. I really would have loved to. And in fact, what I would have read last week, I'm going to read this week. And I will actually for the next fifth Thursday poetry special. I've got essentially a Bible of poetry that just got released that I'll always have on hand. And it's really, really good. And I'll take this opportunity to start talking about it. It is called Sparring with Beatnik Ghosts Omnibus. And it is, I mean, it is like, how many pages is it? Let me see these pages. It's about 600 pages, believe it or not.
Wow.
And yeah, there's about 600, 500 or 600 poets in the book. It is amazing. I mean, yeah, this is a really, and there's also a lot of artwork too. So it's an amazing piece of work here. And it was put together by a man named Daniel Yarian. And he is a poet he lives in Los Angeles now, but he was in the Bay Area. And he really did the poetry community a huge service that will actually live on forever. And that is he reignited the beat poetry scene and their poetry by putting together events. It started in the Bay Area, and then he also had it in LA. So it was in both of those cities, and he would invite, at the time it was like right around the mid 2000s, 2010, 2009, 10. Mm-hmm. There were still a couple of beat poets still alive. And one of them was Ruth Weiss, who was, I don't know if you've heard of her, but she was, she was one of the few female beats, and she was really, really good. And she since passed away, but she came and read a lot of his events. And the owner of City Lights Bookstore too, Lawrence Ferlinghetti, was alive also and participated in his event. So it was really the bridging of the new, you know, the newer young poetry culture, in combination with some of the hybrids, like some of the, I don't know that you could actually call them beats, but they were born during the beat time and, you know, learned from them and carried the torch and were still, you know, are still alive and were still alive then. And then of course, you know, into the newer poets, you know, that are alive right now, such as myself and many others, but, so this book is an amazing piece of work here, and he mixes all the different poets together, and he gives a little bit of little biographies, and it's really, really, really good piece of work. I mean, it's an art piece. So what I thought I would do is read a piece. And if you have to go and go to the next guest, then, you know, just, you can fade it out and I'll finish it next week. But this is an amazing book. It's some really amazing poetry. So it's just endless, but
I look forward to hearing.
Let me start by a quote. Her name is Lenore Candel, and the quote is, "When a society is afraid of its poets, it is afraid of itself." And as an old poet friend says, poetry is the secret movement, the hollowness, the yin within my soul. That's by Jude Rogers. She also recently passed away. May she rest in peace. Now, this poem that I'm going to read tonight is by a man named Kirk Lumpkin. He lives in Berkeley, California. And Chuck, you would like him because he plays music with his poetry. He has a poetry band that's really good. He's very earth-centered, and he worked the Ecology Center, UC Berkeley, and he's a fabulous poet. This is called A Rant and a Prayer for Mother Earth, and this is in memory of David Nadel, Judy Berry, Mario Savo, and Allen Ginsberg.
Mm.
This is the miracle of life in the lonely, glittering cosmos, and this is the origin of the species, and this is the evolution of the species, and this is the green and rooted, glowing connection to the sun. And this is the rainbow web of the biosphere. And this is the dancing spiral of DNA. And this is the love inside the seed. The love inside the genes inside the seed. The one love. And this is the body of history, our body. And this is home, where we live and where we came from. And this is where we owe our allegiance, not to some government rattling the giant numb dicks of nuclear warheads, and waving the tattered rag of a concept called democracy, which has been run over by a trillion automobiles and yet is somehow able to hide the casual human roadkill of 100 dictators. Not to the so-called free market in which we're wage slaves or addicted consumers at best, which has released upon our planet its rapacious and predatory robots, making extinction a daily event that doesn't even make the corporate-controlled media. Not to the regents of the University of California, whose insistence upon dominance will not allow the possibility that the people of Berkeley might be right in finding a park to be the highest usage for a piece of land owned by the university, when, as citizens of California, the land supposedly already belongs to the people. The regents who have prostituted their best research minds to corporate America for the inventing of weapons of mass destruction, for collaborating with petrochemical monsters like BP, and for developing such abominations as the machine-picked tomato, and who have never really believed in free speech for students, not to Maxim Corporation, which shits sawdust and fart smoke on logging communities, which it treats like peasants outside its corporate castle gates, and which treats thousand-year-old trees, wildlife, and ecosystems as if they were assets to be liquidated at will for their selfish ends, and having liquidated these assets incur a debt to the future, which they cannot possibly repay, not to the FBI, CIA, so-called intelligence community, which is neither intelligent nor a community, but is a good old boy club used to batter our own and the world's people into conforming to the plan of keeping the rich rich and the poor poor. Not to the homophobic churches of the fundamental fear of love's body that adore unborn fetuses and blithely condemn actual living people to poverty without health care, that apparently pray for an unwanted child and a gun in every American home. Not to some authorities in uniforms or business suits. Mother, forgive us for what we have allowed to be done to you and to our heroes. David, goodbye. Judy, goodbye. Mario, goodbye. Alan, goodbye. And this is the howling song that the wind can't sing by itself.
Mm. Wow.
Isn't that beautiful? That, again, his name is Kirk Lumpkin. And just as a reminder, those people that I named were environmental activists. You probably remember Mario Savio. He's a big activist in Berkeley.
Not by name, anyway.
In the 60s. Yeah. But that is a beautiful poem on Mother Earth. And the park. Yeah, the park that he's referring to is People's Park, which is a park that is in Berkeley that is known for being peaceful, and it's a beautiful park on campus of Berkeley. And there's always these battles over it. Should they build condos? Should they just keep it? And
Wow.
But so this is an amazing book, and you know anybody can grab a copy on I think it's on Lulu. You can order a copy and have it shipped. It's hardback. And there's a lot of really beautiful art and photos. And it's quite the art piece. It's quite the coffee table, piece of work that you can keep reading over and over again. But I think it's about $60. It's not cheap, but, it's worth it. It's worth it to have a piece of art, you know, on your coffee table that you can keep going back to and back to.
Yeah.
And,
I have a beautiful book that Michael Annis, who's a regular guest on this and who is part of the last couple of poetry shows. He published an amazing book a few months back. Howling at the Edge of, I don't remember exactly, but it has his own work and many others, and it's a huge book. Must be like 14 or 15 inches high, and maybe 10 wide, just gorgeous, wonderful poetry and artwork. So I'm really glad to hear this one. I hope you'll share the link to me later.
Yeah, I sure will. And in fact, I mentioned him to you before, and I tried to get him on for the last show, but he was working. But I'd love to have him on the fifth poetry Thursday. They're the fifth Thursday poetry.
Yeah.
Sometime, and he can talk about how he put it together and how.
Yeah, that would be great.
Really, yeah, because when you're in California, I don't want to say we take it for granted, but when you're, when you're outside of California, a lot of this stuff is really, very interesting. Not that it isn't interesting when you're in California, but it has a California history and energy and feel and that, the progressiveness that California used to be known for. And it just has a real special, if you're not in California, it's just a great peek into the culture there.
And of course,
it's the universal meanings, like that poetry I just read is, universal.
Really meaning. Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a great poet too. I can put you in touch with him. I'm sure he'd love to be on the show too.
Yeah. I would love to hear him, have him on the show.
We'll talk after all of that. I forgot to ask you how you're doing.
Well, I'm doing pretty well, and I just realized that we're way over the time that I actually had allotted for your segment. So I better add Frank Cordero into the show. He's probably been patiently or perhaps impatiently waiting for about 10 minutes. So I'm going to add him in. You're welcome to stay or not, as you choose. We're going to see what Frank Cordero has to say here. Adding Frank in right now. Frank joins me every week from the Des Moines Catholic Worker. And on last week's poetry show, I got him to
hello,
join
Chuck.
Me and hello Frank. I was just about to brag about what we did last week with your poems from the Bible, which was really a fascinating addition to that poetry show. How are you, Frank?
I was digging deep. Yeah. Well, since you're not calling me at 5 and you're calling me at 7, I'm with a dear friend, David, and we're one gin and tonic into our night. He's going out to make some more. And I'm a little more lucid. I'm grateful to be on the program, as I often am. So today I have been procrastinating. You know, as we spoke when you called me last time, difficult things, like things just come and make things difficult, and lots of stuff came at one time. I had to deal with a guy who was helping with my meds. The whole medical scene is really weird, and I have to take care of Norman, which is really his handicap. I'm his handicap. And then at the same time, David came and helped us build a door for Norman. And then at the same time, someone calls and I got to go do a donation thing. I lost the key and things like that. And I lost the deposit thing. And I'm going like, am I going to get anything usefully done? And frankly, I went off for a walk, got my prayer in. David called me, and now I'm one gin and tonic into a night of reflection. I'm dealing with.
It's been that kind of a day for most of us. For some reason, it must be the phase of the moon or something.
Well, there have been some solar storms.
Explanation.
Yeah.
I don't, any explanation will do. And the, even that will may not be the right one. But the issue is I get into my bitchy role when I think about being old, past 70, and I live in fog. I'm really challenged at the moment. I have a week deadline for the next Via Patches, which is like the only one we've put out so far. So I'm in the pre-writing angst, and these are things I know this situation very well. It's just very painful, and I get down and moody, and until I can put something on the paper and talk about what's going on, I'm not going to be a happy camper.
I can't let it get to you, Frank.
But the issue here for me is that, I've been here 45 years, so I got to let go of things. So, and there are young people here. They're going to try to put out a newsletter. God bless them. I got to get out of my discipline to try to get out of my, stay in my lane and not get in their way. And that's not easy for the guy who's been calling all the shots for 45 years. So, I have to do a lot of letting go of shit. So nights like this with my friend David's a very helpful thing. We do a peer counseling. You know, I tell him my shit, then he tells me his shit. And they call that peer counseling. And if you have a drink or two, it really helps. How you doing, Chuck?
I'm doing pretty well, Frank.
How's the show?
Well, the show is it's going well, but it's challenging so far. But we're going to get there. Skype, the internet has been a challenge for me all day, but we're doing well. Ava is still on with us. That's Ava Bird, it's great to have both of you.
Good.
Hi, Frank. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Can hear you well. Thank you.
Oh, good. All right. Good. Hey, want to say one thing, Frank, to you. I just, for the first time and since I was a little kid, I actually went into a Catholic church last weekend just by accident. The doors were open. It was an old historic building. And I had gone there to church as a child, and I hadn't been in since. And I walked in, I sat down, it was quiet, it was open. There were a couple of people praying in there. I sat down in front of Mary, and I wrote a really long poem.
Wow.
Good. And then I left. I know, it was like, I couldn't believe that it happened, but it was really powerful.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about being Catholic, it's a mixed bag. You love the church for what it's given you, and I certainly do, and I have absolute loyalty to it. And then you just get irate and angry and mad at the church for its dumb way of trying to follow Jesus, and in fact, not following him at all. It's a real bind. The wonderful thing about the bind about Christianity in America, it's not just a Catholic problem. It's a Presbyterian problem, Methodist, Episcopalians. They're all pro.
Well, you know what, the
pro war, pro USA.
Right, and the common denominator in all of those is one thing, and that is humans. They seem to, screw everything up. All good things, they seem to screw up. But something that I've learned in general is that everything has its shadow. You know, they're even the best food, even the best foods out there, kale, any food that you can think of, it has a shadow side. It has things in it that are possibly toxic to people. So it's like, we can't really get away from that. And to expect things to be perfect and to expect light, full light, we're not supposed to live in a world that's full of light. You know, we would die without the darkness. So it's like the balance of, you know, of having that balance with us and then not expecting perfection in our institutions, but then also not making them, you know, really, really bad at the same time, you know, and striving for excellence and striving for good, but not being afraid of the dark and not having the dark overtaken. So, you know, it's a delicate walk. And it's brave for you to be involved. Like you said, there's, you know, so many reasons to walk away from things, but it's brave for you to still be in that and to have the confidence and the bravery and the courage to stick with it. And the loyalty.
Because I've struggled for many issues, and I've gone to jail for many. I don't live day to day resisting the empire. I have, and I will, and I will be called to do so again. Day to day is the issues are really lifestyle, and this scene here is a commitment to service and downward mobility in community. It's a really difficult path, but liberating path in so many ways. It helps. It really is a when you try to create hospitable space, hospitality, you create the space for my world of the kingdom of God moments, because so much of what Jesus says is done in the context of hospitality. We feed the hungry, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, that sort of stuff, the works of mercy. And in the context of that, doing it hospitably, that is the antidote for the culture that we live in that centers people into the major issues of what it means to be human, what it means to be human. And there's no greater challenge these days than that right now, because we're modern. And we all do things. When we say we are universally a universal experience of humanity, it is more true now today than it ever was. Because during Jesus's day, 90% of the people never left a 30-mile radius from where they lived.
Yeah.
And 90% of everything they got was from that 30-mile radius. That ain't true
I bet a lot of them never left a 3-mile radius.
Well, we're being generous here. But the point is, now there is no I live in a state of Iowa, for example, and in my lifetime, we've lost half of the soil that God gave us through the pooping
and shitting and grazing of buffalo for eons.
Yeah.
Half of the soil in our generation down the toilet, down the Mississippi, causing climate control issues.
Mm.
Who does that? And then the soil we have left is dead by industrial agriculture, throwing in fertilizers and petroleum-based life into the soil, which is no life at all, and then dragging it out. So we got dead soil, half of it gone, and we're polluting our air, water, and soil in my state. And then we're sharing it with the rest of the world. What culture gets away with that in one generation? I mean, we are now, the universal message of humanity is now even more important than it ever has been. Because we're universally fucking up.
That about sums it up.
Right. Well, we're talking about the imbalance of, you know, the dark taking over the light, just too much darkness and not enough light.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, I was in for 5 minutes. I got another gin and tonic and I won't be reasonable. So, talking to you both. God bless you.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye, Frank.
Thanks so much, Frank.
God bless. Thank you, guys.
All right. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah,
bye-bye.
I got it.
Okay. Well, that was fun.
Hey, that was fun, Chuck. Thanks for keeping me on.
Was it, though? I'm now going to add in. I'm now 8 minutes late bringing in Philip Perugio. I did call him separately from this to let him know that I was still going to add him. So I'm going to bring Philip in right now. Philip joins me each week for this, which typically for the second half hour of the show. And he's in Port Orange, Florida, which is not nearly as close to me as you might think. Welcome, Philip, to the New American Dream. Abba is here with me, and we're anxious to hear what you have to say.
Okay. This is a column I wrote about a week or two ago. I think you put it up. Maybe you didn't. I don't know. Anyway.
I'm pretty sure I have. I'm all caught up on your column.
Yeah, it's called They Burn Witches. They burn witches, don't they?
Huh.
Well, not quite yet. But not so much are we referring to actual witches, rather us Americans who believe in true equality and fairness. This current ultra-right-wing culture that has seeped into our Supreme Court is terribly dangerous. They have most of the churches throughout this republic, and that's no play on words, in lockstep with their mania. Not stopping with abortion, this fascist cult has mimicked the Germany of the 1930s and gone after the really vulnerable, meaning gay and transgendered Americans. For their proverbial strike three, they have allowed just about anyone to carry a concealed weapon. New York's Sullivan Law, which had been on the books for 111 years, made it a felony to be caught doing so without a license. You know, even in Dodge City during the Wild West days, people had to check your guns with the sheriff when entering town. Well, not anymore. Imagine being on a rush hour at New York City subway and perhaps arguing over a seat. Before you know it, boom! Now, I knew things were moving in this Neanderthal direction when the Supreme Court ruled in a 7-2 decision in 2018 on the Colorado Baker case. A bakery owner had refused to make a wedding cake for a gay couple's upcoming marriage. The owner said it went against his religious views, even though the same court ruled in favor of same-sex marriages just 3 years previous. Imagine if the bakery owner belonged to a so-called religious sect that believed whites and blacks should live separate, so he refused to serve a black customer. Parroting once again those wonderful Nazis, What if the bakery owner belonged to a so-called religious sect that felt their type of Christianity saw Jews as beholden to Lucifer, a.k.a. devil worshippers?
Mm.
Well, now we're getting a little bit closer to those fine folks in Salem. So we have this trifecta that actually goes even further down the rabbit hole of reason. Justice Clarence Thomas, he of Big Bong Silver? Anyway.
Long, yes.
Long Bong Silver. That's what Anita Hill said he was telling her. Anyway, he plans to revisit the Griswold ruling of 1965, which protected married couples who chose to use contraceptives from being, I'm not kidding about this, from being arrested. Do you still think that 1984 was just a book and a film? This is the same Clarence Thomas. Oh, yeah, I think I did over here. This is the same Clarence Thomas that Anita Hill, who once worked in his office in 1981, accused him of sexually harassing her in their workplace. Did he refer to himself then to her as Long Dong Silver from the porno star's character? Thomas and Hill at the time were both single, and as with the teenager Brett Kavanaugh, is it something about male Supreme Court justices who share sexual aggressiveness? We will never know for sure, now will we? Finally, Donald Trump and his close cabal have still not been charged with inciting insurrection when the proof is floating out there like seagulls at the beach. George W. and Tricky Dick Cheney, I'm sorry, you Nixon haters, and their cabal have never been charged as war criminals for their lying us into the most horrific action by a government ever, which was, if you forgot, the illegal and immoral invasion and occupation of Iraq. Matter of fact, Junior Bush has become a kinder, gentler ex-president and a dear friend of Bono and Ellen DeGeneres. Tricky Dick Cheney has passed his genes on to his daughter Liz, whose only saving grace is her disgust of Trump, as she just marveled at the great Supreme Court rulings. So get rid of those broomsticks, left-leaning folks. They'll soon be coming after us. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, well.
Okay.
Insightful and amusing as always, Philip.
I think it is.
you've got to laugh at Long Dong Silver, but anyway, what was I going to say? I've lost
it. That's like Bill Clinton. This as a joke, you know, because you have Clarence Thomas say he never said anything like that and never did anything to her.
Yeah, right.
It's like Bill Clinton saying, I never had sex with that woman.
Right.
Bill, oral sex is sex, Bill. Bill, oral sex is sex. Come on, Bill.
Yeah, really? Well, yeah, he doesn't,
Anyway.
It seems like there's a whole generation that doesn't believe that that's really sex. And,
So how do you guys feel about this new Supreme Court with their rulings?
They're frightening, I think. it seems like just one thing after another. I don't know where it's going to go next. It's really crazy.
Well, the thing that gets me is, you know, with the shooter in Illinois, on the Fox stations, Laura Ingraham and I think Tucker Carlson, they said, well, it's not about guns, it's about marijuana, right? Marijuana and women.
What?
I don't know. They were bringing.
What?
Yeah, they were saying that. Yeah, like marijuana can make you. Can make you very aggressive. Has anybody ever?
Oh no! Here we are, Reaper Madness.
If they ever smoked marijuana, I mean, does these people realize that when I was driving with my friends back in the 1970, whatever it was, and we were all smoking pot. I mean, my friend was going like 5 miles below the city speed limit.
He was
so slow. Yeah.
Either that or you're sitting at the light and you don't bother to go when it changes.
You're just looking at the light. You're looking at the red light and the green light. You know, oh, man,
yeah.
Those lights are beautiful, man. Those lights are beautiful. It's like Cheech and Chong. You know, Cheech and Chong, when the guy when the guy leaves the house, remember, his friend leaves and he comes back and knocks on the door. And the guy, and so Chong answers and goes, "Who is it?" He goes, "It's me, man. It's Dave. I forgot my key." And he goes, "No, Dave's not here. He went out." He says, "No, man, it's me, Dave. I forgot my key. Let me in." "No, Dave's not here. He just went out." I mean, you know, I don't think marijuana makes people aggressive. And anyway, what do you feel about the shooting? By the way, did you know that the shooting was done in Highland Park, which is it's a very heavy Jewish neighborhood. Do people know that?
It's a
very dense Jewish community. Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't realize that it was strongly Jewish. I knew that it was a very wealthy community. A cousin of mine lives there. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
If you ask your cousin will tell you there's a lot of Jewish people.
Fortunately, they stayed home that day. So,
yeah. But what I'm saying to you is, you know, and now what they're doing, all these Republicans, they're all saying it's really mental illness, and they're right. I'm sure most of these shooters have mental illness, but you know, does that. So that's more reason why you shouldn't be selling an automatic an assault rifle over the counter to just anybody, right? I mean, come on. Is it me, or doesn't it make sense that those weapons should never be sold to anyone?
Yeah.
You know,
but,
I mean, really.
Well, I pretty much, I mean, I wouldn't even, have guns in the hands of the police, because they seem to be the ones that abuse them the most. But,
I understand what you're saying. It's that's a double-edged sword. I mean, if you don't have guns with the police, then and the criminals do have guns, then you know the police can't. They can't.
Right?
Police,
yeah. Which somehow I heard that argument.
I see your point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see your point. But the thing that gets
if I could just chime in really, really quick. Hi, Philip. It's Alba. Something that I've been thinking about is that, you know, it's, you know, the gun issue and the abortion issue. The glaring, you know, pink glittering psychedelic elephant in the room is the lack of health care, the lack of a health care system.
Kidding. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure, you're right.
You know, imagine if we had that, these things wouldn't say they'd be non-issues, but they certainly would be very much minimized.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and the kid in Uvalde, for instance, if when he was in school before he dropped out, if they would have, you know, if they would have been, you know, monitoring him and getting him to speak to school psychologists and then to get him, you know, therapy when he was, maybe, you know, a lot of this anger, you're right. I mean, it's the lack of feel good health care in this country. It's terrible.
Right. And it's like, you know, the Republicans were, you know, have not, I mean, both sides have to take responsibility, but the Republicans were, you know, haven't really done much on health care. And just what a double tragedy it is, just the lack of health care. And then that we have a society that creates mental illness in people. So it's like you just have this, I mean, it's more than the double kicker, you know, it's like, if we just didn't have such a sick, you know, mentally ill inducing society, you know, then it's just so,
you know,
it's so bitterly Yeah, the bitter kicker is that, like, not only do we have all these nuts, the society creates nuts, but, you know, that they do have access to guns. And
sure.
It's not just guns. I mean, you know, they'll figure out another way, but, I mean, what a mess we have on our hands. And,
well,
you know,
also,
I personally...
It's also when you have people that, when you have a society or a system where you've created an underclass, and, you know, it's not just a black underclass. You know, we know there are more poor white people in this country than there are black or Spanish,
mm-hmm.
Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have an underclass because of the way the system is set up, and you know, neighborhoods are really, you know, everyone should watch that series that was on. I watched it again twice. The Wire. Did you ever hear of The Wire? It took place
in
Baltimore.
Yeah. That was
an ex-cop and an ex-journalist, you know, wrote it. So they mm-hmm. were right there. You watch that series, and, you know, I know there's a little bit of Hollywood in it, but still, you see these neighborhoods, and how sad it is it's just horrible, you know. And the drugs, of course, are the easy way out, because you make money selling drugs, and you forget your troubles taking drugs.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the easy way out exactly, but it's perceived as the only way out for a lot of the people that live there. They don't have the opportunity to get other types of jobs, and the other types of jobs don't pay as well. You know, it's an ongoing a problem that it keeps snowballing.
And also the anger, like, you look at this Trump, the whole phenomenon with Trump, and here's a guy who is a phony populist. You know, he's a rich man. He's a phony. He's a misogynist. He's everything bad about a person, and yet he attracted. He attracted all of these working class people, you know, low income, middle income people who are, they love him, and they still do, and they revel in him. And because it's their anger. All he did was he lit a match under their anger, and they really think that he's speaking for their anger, which he wasn't. But they think he's the answer. Because it's what she was saying, Avi was saying, it's everything is so down in this country,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so people have a right to be angry. I mean, they really, all these Trump supporters, they have a good point in being angry,
mm-hmm.
but of course mm-hmm. they're picking on the wrong focus of their anger, you know.
Right.
So. That's the same. He's going to drain the swamp. He
think people really needed somebody to help them. And he touched on some points that were, you know, lightning rod points for people that were important. But like you said, it was like a superficial thing, you know, and it was like, we, not just they, but we as a people really need leaders that have integrity and that are honest and that aren't, you know, buried in the bureaucracy.
You said an oxymoron. You said leaders and integrity.
And right.
We don't have. First of all,
it is a bit of an oxymoron. Just like
I haven't encountered a politician that was not full of shit. I mean, that's my opinion. And I'm going to start doing stand-up again. I'm going to go back to stand-up. I'm serious. I'm going to get the guts up and do stand-up. And I'm just going to rail about the system, how terrible it is, and how I'm trying to make a joke out of it, you know.
Yeah.
There's crap.
There's a lot of opportunity for dark comedy.
Well, come on. I mean, look at what we have now. We got the governor of Florida who, this guy is so terrible. He's such a neo, I wrote the piece, I was going to read it tonight, but I'll read it next week. I mean, he's a neo-fascist. He really is a neo-fascist.
Yeah.
And he's playing to the base. And it's this, the white people of this country who think that the blacks and the Spanish and the Hispanics are getting over on them. And they are angry, and they're going at the wrong people to be angry at, you know?
Yeah.
That's what we have. And then we have a president. This guy. Oh. I mean, what do they wheel him out in front of the cameras? Is that what they do? I mean, come on, the guy.
Well, I'm not sure which one of you said this, but it's the increasing polarization of you know rich and poor.
It's terrible.
Speech. I think that is one of the strongest factors that is feeding this division. You know, we used to say "United we stand" and all that, but we are not. This country has not been united for a long time, and it's getting worse.
Well, what's happening is that we're seeing a grassroots union organizing movement in the country, and it's happening with the part-time, mostly part-time workers who work in Starbucks and Amazon, and they're organizing. Yeah. Apple.
Right.
These companies are fighting them. Terrible.
Hey, that music there, that means it's the end of this first hour of the show. Thank you both so much, Ava and Philip, for being with me here. It was a great first half hour, our first hour.
Thanks, Chuck. Thanks, Philip. Good talk.
All right. Yes, sir. See you on the other side of the station, Ray.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio, Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick, I think. Thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Stars. Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back, everyone, to the New American Dream Radio Show. And we are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Had a lot of fun in that first hour with Ava Byrd, Frank Cordero, and Philip Ferrugio. I'm sure we're going to continue having some very interesting conversations. Our next guest is Azura Crispino. Azura joins me in this first week of every month, and I believe she's back in Texas now. Azura is a prison activist and a fascinating person. So. Hello, Azura.
Hello, Chuck.
All right. Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show. You are on the air.
Okay. And I am going to be merging a guest in with me. Just one second, please.
Okay.
Hello, New American Dream listeners. This is Azura Crispino with Prison Abolition Prisoner Support, and I have a guest joining me. Josiah, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name's Josiah, him, from Cleveland, Black Free in Cleveland, as well as a lot of other formations. Around like Care Response, as well as the Cuyahoga County Jail Coalition, and several others, but we'll not get too deep into that.
Yeah, so the reason I asked Josiah to come on the show this month is because there has been a lot of news coming out of Northeast Ohio relating to the police officer who shot Tamir Rice, and also what's been going on in Akron, Ohio, and as well some updates on what's going on with the potential building of a new county jail in Cuyahoga County in Cleveland. So I thought that I would just give Josiah a chance to give us a far closer to the situation update on those issues.
Great. Thank you.
Hey, well, thank you for having me on. I guess as far as the Tamir Rice situation or the Timothy Lohman situation, really, I've been privileged to be able to work with Ms. Rice over the past few years And so, you know, it was disturbing to see that. Some say he thought it was a good idea, and the fact that he thought he still had the ability to work as a police officer and not just be grateful that he's not you know, held accountable for the murder of Tamir. But what, you know, what was good about that is that, like, within basically a day, he had to withdraw, like, as soon as, you know, that was made public. Really, it was, you know, he ducked his head back under the sand. So, you know, that's heartening to see. But it is, you know, Ms. Rice doesn't need to get these calls all the time, right? That's fortunate reality of his privilege as, you know, a white man and a police officer, to be able to just continually think that he can just do this job. Spent some time down in Akron this past weekend, and, you know, the situation there is very much one of just rapid response right now.
So for our listeners who may not have heard what happened in Akron, can you just give us a little bit of background?
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm so used to speaking in rooms where everybody knows what's going on. So
you have to assume that most of us don't know what's going on. So tell us everything.
Yeah. So last week, I believe it was Tuesday, police tried to pull over Jaylen Walker for, I think, what ended up being like a license plate light, like a little light above your license plate. I've been pulled over for that before.
One of the excuses.
Yeah. And so, you know, for whatever reason, you know, Jaylen felt threatened and, like, sped off. At that point, you know, a bunch of, you know, they called it in, a bunch of more officers. I think it was 8 cars ended up chasing him. He stopped, hopped out of his car, and took off running and was shot an estimated 90 times by these 8 officers, 60 of them entering his body. Obviously, he died. And so that, you know, that happened, I believe, Tuesday evening. And, you know, the FOP issued their statement, you know, in concern about, you know, all of the things that the police were going to have to go through, those 8 officers, and what a tragedy it was for them. And the city of Akron, obviously, you know, was up in arms about this. And for those of us from Cleveland, it really resonated a lot, because the reason that we have a consent decree here in Cleveland was because of Melissa and Timothy Williams, who were shot 137 times between the two of them. That officer was, well, all of those officers were not prosecuted at all, well, not found guilty of anything. Basically, they said that there were too many bullets to decide who actually killed them. But yeah, so since then, pretty much every day there have been protests down there, getting demands put forth, and, you know, it's been met in the way that it often is, with a lot of state repression, a lot of highly militarized vehicles, you know, National Guard, different counties sending in their sheriff's departments. I actually was at a protest where we delivered demands to the mayor's house on the 4th of July, because, you know, offices are not open on the 4th. So we're like, hey, we'll just drop it at his house. And there was about 60 or so of us, probably about 10 children, several elderly and disabled. And, you know, they basically rolled up what is equivalent to tanks through people's this residential neighborhood, people's lawns, and onto the street. And, I mean, neighbors were running out of their houses And we literally like picked children up and hid them behind parked cars and driveways, just to keep them safe. A few people were arrested there, and there's been, I think, probably about 60 to 70 arrests in the past 5 days. A bail fund was started up and has really gotten a lot of traction. So at least I think the total at this point is 36 people who have been arrested have been bailed out. I think about 15 or 16 of those were just like signature bonds. So it was just a matter of the process. But over 20 people have already been bonded out through the bail fund. So definitely appreciative of people across the country seeing the need, seeing people grieving and raging against the atrocities that have been put upon them and then re-traumatized by the state response. So that's kind of the situation in Akron, and it's ongoing right now.
And I just want to give like a quick background, okay? Because obviously I spent 3 months in Northeast Ohio, but that's not where I'm from. But I did end up going to Akron a few times, and I would say it's probably, depending where you are in Cleveland, maybe a 45-minute drive, but it's a small town. It's pretty much the college, and it used to be heavily involved in making of rubber and tires, and obviously as that industry shrunk the town. I mean, there's just not, it's not a particularly large town. So when you're telling me that the police had access to tanks, right, and that the National Guard were called in and all of this craziness, I mean, this is a fairly sleepy town, right? I mean, it has like maybe 3 coffee shops with my experience of being there. And for the history buffs, Akron is on the map because it's where Sojourner Truth gave her famous Ain't I a Woman speech. So, I mean, I think an interesting location to see something like this happen. It really drives home the point that when it comes to police brutality in this country and police racism in this country, there is no place that is safe until we are able to have our demands truly met. Because this is not a place where you would expect a high level of militarization unless, you know, you've been doing this kind of work and realize that every place in this country is a place of potential high militarization. And then I'm not sure if I should mention this, so I'll leave his name out of it. But as you may recall, I ended up, you know, moving in with an activist in Cleveland, and it turns out that he was one of the people arrested. And I just want to point out that even the folks who were released on a personal reconnaissance bond. So Josiah, just so that I have the details straight, the action occurred on the 4th of July, which would have been the Monday.
Yes, that's correct.
But they weren't seen by a judge, at least our friend wasn't, until that Wednesday morning, right? So even though most likely the charges will be dropped, you know, normally you go to a protest on a Saturday, you expect that you're going to be sitting in jail until Monday, right? But when a federal holiday falls on a Monday and the courts are closed, there was absolutely no reason for somebody who is on, you know, a misdemeanor charge to be held until Wednesday. And then there were some people who were actually issued bonds. So part of the reason I point all of this out is because obviously there have been a lot of Roe v. Wade protests, right? And I find it really fascinating that the police response to those protests versus police brutality protests, even though often the activists are the exact same people going to both protests, but the police response is very different. Josiah, do you have anything to add to that, or does that spark any thoughts for you?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. One, I know that the courts themselves, they shut down the county jail. They closed the doors. They locked them because so many people had gathered outside because they were just waiting all day for their loved ones to be released. And they took these people waiting for their loved ones to be released as a security threat, and then locked the jail, which then made it take that much longer to get people bailed out. So it's just it's really frustrating. And even for those who remember Jacob Blake, who was shot in the back 9 times in Kenosha, which is another kind of sleepy town, right?
His
father actually came to Akron in solidarity, and he was beaten unconscious and was arrested. But before he was arrested, he was beaten unconscious and is currently actually hospitalized in Akron, along with his Jalen Walker's fiance, who had just passed away like a month before in a car accident, a hit and run. Her family had been very active, and they eight members of her family were all arrested. Breonna Taylor's aunt was arrested. It's just really endemic. And I do think that it is very much different. When we looked at the names of all the people who were arrested, like 80% of them were Black and brown people. And I was there at these protests, and 80% of the people who were there were not Black and brown people, but those were the people who were being arrested. So it's like, it's a continued manifestation of the thing that you are protesting against. I mean, they are making it absolutely clear what the priorities are.
So tell us about the demands that were delivered to the mayor. How were they developed? What were the demands themselves, and how were they received?
Well, how they were received, we actually have no idea. There's been no statement issued from the mayor or any city officials other than the normal, you know, prayers and whatnot. And you know, be peaceful. That's pretty much it that we've gotten from city officials there. The demands were developed by an organization called Freedom Block, that has been doing a lot of advocacy work there, tenant organizing, Black-led organization, very strong leadership. And they kind of developed these demands, and it's real simple stuff. You know, indict all 8 officers who shot Jalen Walker, you know, 80 times, 90 times, right? Remove the 3-day period that they give officers in between the time of a use of force incident and the time that they have to issue their statement, be interviewed, right? So in that 3-day time, there's a lot of time for collusion and, you know, getting your story straight and things like that. Now, if I go out and am suspected of a crime and they take me in, they're not going to just give me 3 days, you know, like, okay, you're good. You know, we'll call you in 3 days. You and all your friends who we just picked up, well, you go do your thing, and we'll call you in 3 days, and then we'll interview you. No, they're going to pick you up, and they're going to interview each of you separately and continue that process until they get what they want, right? But that's not the way the process works for police officers. So that was another demand, and I don't have them all on me right now. I'm a little bit unprepared, but they were all like pretty simple. I think there was one demand for an oversight board of the police department, and I don't remember what the other specific demand was. But there's, you know, there is further demands kind of like coming out of the response as well, as far as like dropping charges against protesters. They've issued a curfew across the city. that ended yesterday, and then they got reinstated today. So you know, there's a separate set of demands, and I know they're supposed to go to the city council on Monday. Of course, city council the meetings and have their meetings by Zoom, so they wouldn't be in person to have public comment. So that's what, you know, every avenue is as obstructed as it can possibly be.
For folks who want to be able to keep abreast and participate, so obviously donate to the bail fund, that's important, but how else can people continue to follow information on this important story and possibly get involved if they're not already?
Yeah, so I would direct them to Freedom Block, and I would also say Serve the People Akron is very much like on the ground. I mean, they were the people who were, when people were getting picked up, and when they were getting picked up, they were getting shipped all over the place. It wasn't just in Summit County, which is the county that Akron is in, but also Portage and Stark and all over Ohio. They were shipping people everywhere. And when they released them, they weren't bringing them back. They were releasing them wherever. And like, you know, it could be, you know, 50, 60 miles from home. And you're just getting, you know, you're just walking out the door. There's no Greyhound. There's no, you know, there's no train station. You're just kind of on your own. So, you know, we were checking the list. You don't have a, right. So people were actually, you know, there were a team of people who were driving out to these different places and just picking people up, people who they don't know at all, people who they've never met, but picking them up and taking them home. So certain people Akron's been doing a lot of on the ground work, and their social media, I would suggest to follow. You know, they do a lot of updates. So those two, as far as keeping abreast of it, you know, as well as whatever your media of choice, I guess that's kind of a little alternative, because the mainstream media is not doing a very good job of this at all. And so I guess another piece that people could try to do is to, you know, call their media outlets and say, hey, like, this is a story. Like, why are you not talking about this? Definitely continue to donate to the bail fund, but hold solidarity actions wherever you are, because what this event is really is a mirror that reflects the same things that are happening in communities all across the country, all across the world for that matter. But to keep it somewhat local, all across the country, you know, I see Cleveland in what is happening here, you know, and so I think there are a lot of other people who can see their own cities and tragedies that have been localized there within this. And so, you know, and getting people organized where you are.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've seen a lot of local groups also putting together clinics where if you want to have your car, you know, if you have something that might be wrong, that's a minor thing, like a license light, they, you know, creating mutual aid groups that will help to fix those for free as a way of, you know, potentially preventing a really tragic situation. It's just hard to wrap the head around the idea that, you know, a tail light, or not even a tail light, right? You said it was a license plate light, could end up being an executable offense. And yet we keep seeing these things, right? So I think we have a couple minutes left, maybe. Chuck, do you have any questions? Or Josiah, do you have any final points?
I'll leave space for a question if there is one.
And if not, just because, you know, silence on radio is bad.
Well, folks, I'm not quite sure what happened there. All of a sudden, the call went away, but we're going to try to get things going again. All right.
Because a jail wouldn't be finished for another 5 years, and that will not avail anyone anything that is currently incarcerated in the county. Whereas, you know, rehabilitation of the facility, you know, would be maybe 2 years in parts, and would cost, you know, like a fifth or a sixth of what this would cost, and those funds could be, you know, delivered to front end care as well as like back end care for people, and actually break the cycle that we've been in for eternity. So I'm still very much hopeful. There's a lot of folks that are engaged around this. The community is definitely not for it. So I'm hopeful going forward. But, you know, bureaucracy has a lot of inertia, and they have a way that they like to do things. So disrupting that, you know, is a continuing challenge.
Yeah.
So it looks like we had some slight technical difficulties, but Josiah was just filling us in on the Cuyahoga County Jail and the struggle to make sure that a new one is not built, but that instead the current one is rehabilitated. And to shuffle the money towards causes or towards ways that would actually prevent crime from occurring, and just making sure that people are getting the services that they actually need. So, Zaya, thank you so much for coming on, especially on such short notice. I really appreciate your depth of knowledge and experience on three diverse yet connected issues. So thank you so much for coming on.
So yes. Glad that you invited me and I had the time, and thank you for having this platform.
Well, thank you, Josiah, and thank you, Azura, for bringing Josiah to the show. I hope that you know, we can talk again sometime in the future. And this is just about the end of this segment, but it was very interesting, and I thank you both for being here with me.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Chuck.
Okay.
Thank you to the New American Dream listeners. We appreciate you. I know that some of these conversations are difficult, but we really appreciate you staying on the line and continuing to educate yourself. Remember that you are your community's greatest asset. So anything that you do to empower yourself and to empower the community is helping, including educating yourself.
All right. Very well said, Azura, and thank you so much. And listeners, let me remind you, this is the New American Dream Radio Show. We're streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And it's a listener-supported network, and they do deserve your support. So please head over to freedomslips.com and see what you can do to help out. I subscribe on Patreon. That's one of the ways, and there are several others. Our next guest of the evening is Karen Katowski. Missed Karen last month, but we are fortunate to be able to bring her on this time, and I'm going to add her into the show right about now. Karen joins us each month in this first Thursday of the month. Karen's a fascinating person who she was, I believe, a lieutenant colonel in the Marines, and she was in the Pentagon on 9/11. She has run for office in Virginia, and she should be joining us tonight from her home state of Virginia. So I am going to add her into the call right about now. And listeners, I thank you for being here. Hope you'll be back next week and every week right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Hello, Karen. Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show.
Well, good to be here. Good to be here. Sorry I missed last month. But
yeah, well, we missed you, but it sounded like you had a nasty injury, and I'm really glad to hear you doing okay.
yeah, I didn't find it healed up, but I didn't get it checked out, but I think I kind of fractured a bone, but it healed up, and it's, you know, things are good. So
good.
But yeah, so I guess a number of things I could talk about, but I wanted to, it has been the 4th of July, so I'm going to go with that theme and talk about some of the stuff in the news. But to start out with, because a lot of things I want to talk about relating to the so-called Independence Day, not the historical one. I'm talking about reality right now. You know, and celebrating it is depressing for me. I think for a lot of people, if they can see through the haze and the propaganda, it's quite depressing. You know, we're not a land of the free. And I don't say that, I'm not a leftist, and I don't say that as a leftist or somebody who says, oh, I need more freedom. We don't even understand what freedom and liberty means. We have this massive government, and we'll talk about that. But to start out with, I live out in the country in the mountains of the Shenandoah Valley. And it's not totally remote. You can see your neighbors. They're out there. And one of our neighbors down the road, not next door, like maybe three houses down, had basically almost a professional fireworks show. And we could see it right out, right at the window. And it was wonderful. And, and it was different. Now, we can see normally somewhere around fireworks from a distance where we live. But this was two or three houses down. And just magnificent. And I remember one of the first fireworks shows I saw as a kid. This outdid that one. And yet he probably bought them all at the Walmart, out in front of the Walmart where they have the fireworks shack. And I think it speaks to, you know, here we are in the country, and we have inflation, and we have all kinds of things people have been facing for years and decades and centuries. But, you know, the marketplace and innovation and the amount of freedom that we do have in liberty and of our minds and our creativity has put very professional fireworks in the hands of people who really didn't have to pay very much for them. And I think that's a miracle. It's a miracle of the free market. It's a miracle of liberty. And I love it. And I'll celebrate. I will celebrate that kind of liberty. And it was wonderful. However, watching fireworks and thinking about that as something, you know, we're celebrating this nation. No, I don't. I watch the fireworks and I celebrate, you know, the free market and capitalism and ingenuity that put such a fantastic display of fireworks in the hand of an average person who's not wealthy. It's just a lower middle class person, which is what I am. And so that's good. I'll celebrate that. I'm not going to celebrate this country. And in terms of that, certainly not the government. I'll celebrate the country, but our government is so pervasive in every part of our lives when, you know, you really can't separate the government from the country. And so that's where a lot of this criticism that I have, and of course other people have too. But the president of Mexico, I forget his name right now, Jose Ibarwan or something like that. Anyway, he wrote a July 4th piece, and he said to Joe Biden, and he open letter to Joe, he said that if you don't drop charges against Assange, if you persist in sending Julian Assange to the United States, because, you know, he's lost his appeal and he may well soon be coming to the Eastern District Court of Virginia, and they will continue the bad treatment, and they will, even though their main witness that they were using backtracked on everything and basically said he made it all up, which we knew he did. They're going to charge him under the Espionage Act, and they're going to, it's a case like, you know, a lot of people in this country who have run up against law enforcement and you don't have a good lawyer, Okay. You're probably going to suffer. You're probably going to get, you know, if you're innocent, that's really not a factor. It's do you have a good lawyer? So everybody knows this, but in Assange's case, the writing's on the wall. If he gets sent here, they will continue some torture, maybe do some new things. But he will go to jail. They will not set him free in some sort of, jury of his peers or anything like that. First off, you can't charge somebody. They're charging him as espionage. He's not an American. Mm-hmm. He didn't do anything on American soil. He's a journalist. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They've got their mind made up. And this is even Trump, who tried to, in some ways, you know, push back against the deep state and a lot of this. He did not drop the charges. I don't think he really, when Trump ran for office, you know, when he ran to be president, he said Julian Assange, he was going to do something, but he didn't. Okay. He didn't. So he's got to be held accountable for what he didn't do. He did nothing. And of course Biden is continuing that. So this isn't even, you know, Republican, Democrat. This is the deep state. Mm-hmm. This is our government. Okay. Our government. You're a Democrat, you're a Republican, you're an independent. Our government does this. This is their policy. So anyway, the Mexican president said that if this happens and the writing's on the wall, Assange comes here, he's thrown into jail, thrown into Supermax for life, for nothing, for breaking no laws. No one was killed. American government personnel were embarrassed. You know, is that a crime? Well, apparently it is. But he said, the Mexican president said, if this happens, you must dismantle the Statue of Liberty and send it back to France, because this country is not the land of the free. It is not anything that is modeled by the Statue of Liberty and modeled by this idea of freedom that they toss around, that we have freedom when in fact we don't. It is under attack in every way possible. So anyway, I thought it was pretty cool that he put it out there like that, because shifting gears a little bit, just in a more broader, assessment of what's happening in this country. And of course, everybody has their own opinion, but many people, just average people, and that's the most of the people. We say average, that's most of the people. Most of the people are feeling inflation. Okay, most of the people who buy gas or pay for transportation are feeling it. They're feeling the crunch. Most of the people who pay a percentage of their income on taxes are feeling the crunch. And most of the people recognize, whether they are left or right or any kind, that the government doesn't pay one bit of attention to anything that they want. It has its own agenda, and it's not pleasing you. Okay, and it's not about pleasing you, and it could care less about pleasing you. So the view in the larger from I guess people who I think are accurate and factually oriented, but of course other people would say, that's a very sad, terrible view that you have. But the view is that our rulers, our masters in this country, and it's a globalized set of elites that don't just run our country, but they, you know, they run quite a lot of things, and certainly have consolidated quite a lot of wealth in the last 50 to 60 years. But really think about post-World War II trends, and those trends have consolidated wealth amongst people who don't want to give it up, and they certainly don't want to give up their power over everything. But what is their agenda? Well, there are people, and I haven't totally bought into it yet, but there are people that who study this and say the agenda is the destruction of the United States as a power. And you can say, well, wait a minute, we're trying to stand up for people like in Ukraine. You know, we're trying to like be somebody in the world. You know, we're trying to put our values out there and support democracy. Really, are we? Are we? Because everything this country's government has done is backfiring and coming back around to the people in this country and impoverishing them. They're breaking them up. They're not just impoverishing them economically. They're impoverishing them spiritually. They're impoverishing them psychologically. you know, we really, we don't, we have this great frustration against our government. And again, this is shared, you know, the left and the right. Oh yeah, we should fight the left and the right. Left, they should, you know, this guy wants to do that. That guy wants to do, okay, well, whatever. Neither one of you matter. You know, you can fight your, you can fight between yourselves. That's what they want. But if we think about it, our government doesn't care what any of them want. You know, it's not advocating for anything. I mean, my God, the Democrats are almost as unhappy with Biden as the Republicans are. And the Republicans just do that because he's a, you know, I mean, obviously they're unhappy with him, but he's a Democrat. So it's like, yeah, yeah, check that box. I'm unhappy with the Democratic president. Of course. But the Democrats themselves recognize this guy's not doing anything for them either. You know, he's screwing them over as well. So, and it's not so much Biden. I mean, Biden isn't even, you know, he's all there. But the power structure, the power system that we have that controls wealth. But anyway, think about, I want to go forward. You know, I always, Ukraine is on my mind. Obviously, I could pick any war we've been involved in. But you know, Ukraine being pretty close to the heart of Europe, I would say closer than the Balkans, although the Balkans were pretty close. And that was, what, 20, 25, almost 30 years ago. And that was kind of a European continental conflict that we were throwing firebombs into. But with Ukraine, you know, it's very geographically close. We are obviously throwing fireballs into this and trying to extend it, you know, fight the Russians until the last Ukrainian, you know, that kind of thing. It's a really brutal and really immoral type of a foreign policy. But you know, people say, well, what the impact is? Well, certainly it weakens the United States, and it causes the whole rest of the world to, like, not want to be associated with the United States, hence the the rise, like Putin says, and Z and all these guys talking about the it's a multipolar world. It's not the rise of the multipolar world. The multipolar world is here, and the former unipolar, you know, United States doesn't like it. And they're losing friends left and right, and because this power is shifting, just like, you know, our country is impoverished, and yet my neighbor has access to a wonderful fireworks presentation, something that would have cost thousands and thousands of dollars 30 years ago or 40 years ago. It cost them probably $100. So, you know, this is wonderful. We can do a lot more with less, and we will have our freedom, and we will prevail. But as a system, our government is completely under huge pressure. So what's the end game? Do they hate Americans? Well, we might think they do, but honestly, they hate everybody. They hate Europeans. What's happening to the European economy is, of course, they're being told, you know, you got to be green, and then Russia, you can't buy Russian oil, so they can't, or gas, and so they have no, you know, they're quality of life is sinking. The cost of life is rising. Their GDPs are down. You know, their productivity is down. But what happens when a company has to, like, you know, go bankrupt or has to sell off certain parts? Well, what happens? Well, the goddamn vultures sit there ready to buy them up. Well, where are those vultures?
Of course.
You know, what tree branches are they sitting on? Well, a lot of them are in New York City and Washington, D.C. and, you know, Austin, Texas. I mean, they are, you know, and of course some of them are global as well. But you know, the United States has no, the United States government, I should say. Of course, Americans, you know, we're not thinking about this stuff. We're just like, hey, man, prices are going up and whatever. But, you know, as the United States government pushes this European war and maybe a World War III, because some of the stuff they're doing makes you wonder if that's not what they want. But as they
finish the show. Okay, we're back.
Are we back? Okay, good. Okay. Yeah, well, what I'll wrap this up because I know we're running out of time, but you know, our prosecution of this stuff in Ukraine and encouraging NATO to enlarge and pour all their excess garbage in there and have Ukrainians die. I mean, they're already dying and have more of them die. But this warmongering and participation in war against one of the emerging multipolar global economic leaders, and Russia's got a small economy, but you can consider it part of that group.
And they're asserting themselves, and certainly their economy is a little bit different than ours in a good way. So as we do this, we're actually fighting in Europe and impacting Europe in such a way that global hegemons in the West and certainly the United States and, you know, our elite, the Davos crowd, these guys are buying up these companies in Europe that are having to cut back. And why are they having to cut back? Well, some of it is their own decision-making processes, their own demands for, you know, go green or whatever. And then the other part of it is, of course, they want to fight a war with Russia over Ukraine. Well, I don't think most Europeans really want to do that, but NATO certainly seems to want to. And it's impacting Europe in a much harder way, much harder way for most Europeans than it is for Americans. Americans may complain about their gas prices and inflation. Yes, it's real, but for the Europeans, their quality of life has drastically been impacted by this. So why is the United States doing this? Well, because we can put ourselves at an advantage. And I think the U.S. looks at Europe as a subordinate lackey, and they don't care about anybody but themselves. And so here I'm, you know, we say, oh, we're a great country. We stand for all these things. What do we stand for? You know, we're a rapacious empire. And it's one thing to say, well, in a certain part of history, we were a rapacious empire, right? You can say, you can pick your time frames when things started to change and we became more rapacious or more imperial. But the fact of the matter is we've earned that label. And that's what we're doing now in Ukraine. And so, you know, we talk it just drives me nuts in this country. And certainly the left is all over, you know, how we should treat people. OK, well, how about we not kill them? You know, how about we not?
Yeah, really? Wouldn't that be a good idea?
There would be something. And certainly don't take the tax dollars of Americans or the borrowed funds of their unborn grandchildren. You know, don't do that to go set Ukrainians up to absolutely be wiped off the face of the earth in certain places, which is what has been happening. And we're like, oh, no, we'll give you some more stuff. We'll trickle in this and that and the other thing, and you'll be able to beat the Russians. Really, what we're saying is, we want you to die, Ukrainians. We want you to die. Why? So we can make more money, consolidate power, put NATO more and more under our, you know, NATO can be like our own global army. It thinks it's NATO, but really it's the United States that runs things. And so, you know, that is not the city on the hill. That is not why France, you know, gifted us with the Statue of Liberty.
Exactly.
It's nothing to do with liberty. Yeah. And I'm telling you, you know, there are people that are farther out than me viewing this as a conscientious destruction of the United States. But I'll tell you, I'm not there yet. But I may be getting there. But the Americans are not stupid. The average person who doesn't go read the stuff that I'm reading and not clued into my little particular, you know, interest areas, the average American is not stupid. And they get this. And they're like, what the hell are you guys doing in Washington? And of course, you know, we see little bits of this, and you got Biden's popularity is very low. Not all of it is because of his Ukraine policy. You know, he's an old fart that says a bunch of crazy things and people aren't happy. Of course, he's not going to be popular. But part of it really is some of the stupid things that they do. And the average American who's not maybe as well informed as some people who going down all these rabbit holes, they get it. They get it. And they're like, why are we doing this? So, you know, I think, you know, we're up against a problem with the ruling structure of our country. And I don't mean Republicans and Democrats, because they're both equally part of the problem. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But the ruling structure has not been delivering the goods, and what it has been delivering is really bad, bad stuff. So the free market delivers wonderful fireworks to my neighbor for very affordable cost. And they're so automated or so well designed that the average guy can shoot them off, can have a magnificent light show, fireworks display, you know, that runs 15 or 20 minutes in his backyard with no training. That's the beauty of this stuff. What can our government do? No. Our government has to send, you know, take trillions of dollars, waste it, consolidate a lot of this money in the hands of its cronies, and make more wars, you know. And
yeah.
So it's just so frustrating. So there is a better way. It's called liberty, real liberty, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody and their brother, including the Mexican president, can see this. Mm-hmm. We can see this. We're not stupid. We see what's going on. So the question is, will we turn our backs and walk away and let the thing collapse on them? Because that's who it will collapse on. You know, the average person is going to be fine because we are creative and, you know, energetic and,
right.
You know, we have networks and, you know, the marketplace allows a lot of people we don't know to serve us. And we can serve a lot of people that we don't know. It's in a peaceful way. That's a free market. Uh-huh. That's liberty. Liberty is going to save us. But it is very, I think more and more people are becoming aware of how incredibly hypocritical our government is when it talks, when it uses words like freedom and liberty. And so that's what I've been trying to say. That's what I'm saying. And I think many people in both parties, all parties, no parties, are recognizing this. They're coming to this. And so what that means is if we get a tipping point of people that believe this, then we will just start living our lives. And we will not be waiting for the government to tell us what to do. And we will not be funding that government, because I think it's really important not to fund a government that could care less about you and is a murderous, rapacious empire. It doesn't stand for liberty. We, the people, do stand for liberty. So hopefully that will be what we see in the next decade as we emerge out of this. A win for liberty, a real win for liberty. And we won't have to dismantle the Statue of Liberty. But I'll tell you, the Assange thing is really one of many examples, but it's one that illustrates so clearly the basically evil and hypocrisy of our own government and its allied governments. You know, I mean, we're not the only ones planning on torturing. The Brits have tortured him in Belmarsh for the past 5 or 6 years. This is who these people are. Oh, and we can celebrate the fall of the British Parliament. I mean, their ruling system. I guess Boris stepped down after four of his folks did, and that is ideally a peaceful. I'm not sure it really changed anything for Britain, but it is symbolic of a peaceful transition of power, not transition to another person, but a devolution of power. Basically, we don't have any faith in you. Go to hell. We need to be there in this country.
Many countries seem to have that that kind of a check on their government, and where you can recall or cancel, you know, somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, sometimes you have to do like the Dutch are doing, the Dutch farmers, and you just have to drive up your fertilizer trucks and your backhoes and you drive it down Main Street and you say, we're not taking it. You can do that. So Europe, who I think is shooting themselves in the foot greatly with some of the decisions they're making, but we're encouraging them to do that so we can buy up their companies and kind of, transfer more leverage our way rather than the Europeans' way. You know, we, I mean, ideally, Europe could just shrug us off like a bad, you know, like fleas, but they're not. And if they are, we get all upset. Oh, no, you can't do that. So it's all about power, and concentrated power is the opposite of liberty and freedom. So I don't know. That's the battle line.
All right. Karen, thank you. So glad to have you back this month. And, I look forward to talking to you next time.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being here on the New American Dream Radio Show. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what call.